I'm Sabrina Sloan from Hamilton, Angelica Schuyler, and this episode of Ear Hustle contains language and sexual content that may not be appropriate for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
So here's the $1 million question, man. Are you still a virgin?
You're killing me. Why did she turn away?
I thought this business was going to be taken care of before I showed up.
Yes, I'm still a virgin. Sadly to admit.
How many days have you been out?
Probably close to 70.
Okay, so what? I know that guys inside are very preoccupied about how quickly guys are going to have sex when they get out. I am on the side of what is the rush?
Well, the rush is that many of us, like myself, have been on the inside for 24 years mm-hmm. without sex. So now we come out and we think that we're going to run right into the arms of some beautiful woman. It's just not happening.
Maybe it's going to take like 6 months. If you want to have just sex, you could just have sex. But are you looking for sex or a relationship?
So that's Curtis' problem. Tell us about it, Curtis.
You're now tuned in to San Quentin's Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia. I'm Nigel Poor. I've been working with the guys at San Quentin State Prison in California for about 8 years.
And I'm Earlonne Woods, a podcaster and former resident of San Quentin.
And together, we're going to take you inside
and back outside post-incarceration.
Our co-host, New York, is working on news stories inside San Quentin. So on this episode, Earlonne and I are staying mostly outside and talking about dating and romance after prison.
What's it like to get back into the game after decades behind bars?
Whew, you know a thing or two about that.
I sure do.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Earlonne, last fall, after 21 years in prison, you finally got out. So I'm going to put you in the same position you put Curtis in. Are you still a virgin? And by virgin, I mean what you like to call post-incarcerated virgin.
Whew, you just get right to the point, huh, Nige?
Sorry, I'm following in your footsteps.
Nope, I'm not.
Interesting.
You know, because when I got out, first night, we went to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Next night, we was on a plane to L.A. to sneak up on my family.
Okay.
And I could say we held out as long as words would allow. But eventually, yeah, now, bada bing, bada bang, woo woo.
Fireworks?
All that.
Well, E, you're saying we, not I. Hmm. And so I think it's time to let the cat out of the bag. You've got a girlfriend.
I do have a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. We met about a year before I got out.
Yep.
We started writing each other profound letters, and one thing led to another.
And man, you really hit the trifecta when you got out, because you had a job, a place to live, and an awesome girlfriend.
And I have 21 years of suspended animation behind me. You know, you're just sitting there, your life is on hold, you're imagining what it might be like if and when you get out.
Yep.
And now I'm living out what I imagine.
It's so great. And you know how happy I am for you.
Yep.
But you know what? You had realistic expectations, I think. And that's not always the case with guys inside.
Some guys have been incarcerated since they were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So they've basically grown up in prison. They don't have any actual experience with romance and dating. So they have to look to some other source for inspiration.
While I was inside, I had an idea of what romance is. I had a lot of time to watch TV and a lot of movies, and that influenced my definition of what romance is.
This is Anutin Pangtong, a.k.a. Choi. He went to prison when he was 15, and he got out of San Quentin a few months before I did, in April 2018. He's 39 years old now.
Choi was on Ear Hustle last year, and when he got out, you got him on the phone from San Quentin, Earlonne, to ask him about his first date post-incarceration. And here's a bit of that call.
So we actually walked, and I walked her to the BART station. gave her the hug, and she went her way, and I went my way.
A hug, no kiss?
Dude, after I told her what I did wrong, that already, like, cut the night short.
Well, we are happy to report that Choi now has a girlfriend. But, Erlan, it really has not been smooth sailing. Because do you remember when we first talked to him about it? He was just about in tears because he was so in love. And then we talked to him, and they had broken up, and it was all drama. But now they're back living together.
Yeah, it's a learning curve, especially if you haven't been in a game for a few decades. Mm-hmm. Like Choi said, a lot of what he knows about relationships comes from the movies.
It's Hollywood. It's made up. And the real world is so much different than that.
What movie would you base your romance life on?
I love romantic movies. One of my favorite is actually, I saw a long time ago, The Notebook.
Okay, Erlan, it is time we had a talk about The Notebook.
I
keep hearing about The Notebook from guys inside San Quentin.
Well, a lot of people in San Quentin seen it because a couple of years ago on the closed circuit TV channel, they showed the movie The Notebook for like about a week.
And you told me you actually dropped a few tears when you saw it.
Wait. I might have just been tired that night, Nige. Damn.
I don't know, because I remember you said to me, you've got to watch that movie with your husband.
And you're going to put me on blast too, huh?
Well, I still haven't seen it, and I bet a lot of our listeners haven't either. So tell me about it, my friend.
Okay. It's pretty involved, though. But here it go. Noah meets Allie at a carnival, and they fall in love. But Noah's working class, and Allie's rich parents ain't having it, so they send her away. Noah writes every day for a year, but her parents hide the letters. Allie gets engaged to someone else, but one day, she pays Noah a fateful visit. He still loves her, and she still loves him. They marry, and they live happily into old age, until Allie's Alzheimer's kicks in. But she's written their story down in the notebook. And Noah reads it to her as her memory fades. They die in each other's arms.
So I think I have some notion as to why it struck a chord in San Quentin. But what do you think, E?
Well, it's a beautiful, rich girl falling for a guy from the hood.
Yeah, that's true.
A lonely, isolated guy writing letters to a woman he loves, mm-hmm. but can't touch. Reminds you of anything?
Okay, I can see why it resonates with guys inside, but will they admit to it?
Will it?
We're going to find out, because New York and Yaya, our inside producers, went out to the yard and got guys on the record about The Notebook and other romantic movies.
Everybody's seen The Notebook by now, right? Is it like spoiler alert thing?
I haven't.
You haven't?
None of us have seen it.
No, I haven't seen it either.
I haven't seen it, and I wouldn't watch it. Do you know what it is? I know it's about Mark Zuckerberg, right?
Would you watch a love story like that, a romance movie?
No.
I was forced to watch it. I was kind of glad when it was over. I wanted to go back to watching our Star Wars binge.
I'm the only gangster you'll probably ever meet that my favorite movie would be The Notebook. Man, I'm a very heartfelt gangster, man. You know what I mean? Like, I could watch a heartfelt movie and feel empathy for someone that got the heart broken or whatever. But now I can turn around and beat your ass right after, too.
It's a tearjerker, but it's cool. It hits you, you know, it hits you here in the heart.
Of course I cried. It was a very emotional, very emotional.
You ever seen the movie The Notebook?
Nope.
You never seen The Notebook?
Black people show is quick to just say, oh, nope. I never saw the notebook.
I'm in love right now. I've been with my girlfriend, fiance, for 6.5 years throughout my whole incarceration experience. Being incarcerated, I could see being on the gentleman's end, seeking approval from my fiance's family when I get out.
If she had Alzheimer's, would you sit by her bed like old boy in a notebook?
Yes, I would, as long as she's breathing. Look, she's sticking with me through the hardest time, man, being in a prison relationship, you know what I mean? So if she can go through all the visiting process, the clearance process, the CO searching you, whatever, just to come see me, then I could do anything for her, you know what I mean?
It sounds like you're living your own notebook right now.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's our notebook, man. I love it.
Did you ever see the movie Pretty Woman?
Believe it or not, I have not seen that.
Julia Roberts, at the end, she says this line that is like my calling card.
This is Curtis Roberts. We heard from him at the top of the podcast.
Richard Gere says, hey, look, I'll set you up with an apartment, allowance, and once a month I'll fly into town and we'll just do our thing. And Julia Roberts says, no, I want the fairy tale. The fairy tale is I want the whole ball of wax. Mm-hmm. I want the wedding. I want the wife. So that's my problem, because I want the fairy tale.
Listeners might remember Curtis from an earlier Ear Hustle episode called Left Behind. At the time, he was serving a 50-year-to-life sentence under California's three-strike law. He'd been addicted to drugs, and his last strike was for stealing $40 from a cash register.
So Curtis spent 24 years in prison, and when his sentence was commuted in 2018, he moved out of San Quentin and into transitional housing in San Francisco.
And like a prince in a fairy tale, he was looking everywhere for his princess.
We're getting a delivery at the house. A lot of the local businesses deliver food to the house. They just donate it. And it was really cool. And this guy and this girl were delivering these boxes. So I went outside the house and I was helping bring in the boxes. And so the girl jumped off the back of the truck just to give me a hug for helping them. And man, I talked about that hug for 3 days. Because she didn't hug nobody else, but she hugged me. And I thought it meant something, you know, but I guess it was just a hug.
Oof, Earlon. Truly, sometimes a hug is just a hug.
Yeah, but remember, Curtis spent decades in prison where there's no hugging of women going on.
But wait, even in the visiting room?
Well, that's different. Yeah, you can hug at the beginning of your visit and at the end of your visit.
That's what I thought.
But if you get caught hugging in between, your visit can be terminated.
Oof. So prison is probably not the best place to learn about the intricacies of interacting with the opposite sex.
I don't know, Nige. I mean, you got your memories, you got movies, you got TVs, books.
Well, you're talking about manufactured things there.
And you got your fantasies. That's all you need.
And even though Curtis didn't have any dates set up yet, he did have fantasies about them.
What do you envision your first date being like?
Let's see. I envision it. We get to take off and run somewhere straight into the chapel and get married.
God damn, Curtis!
You asked.
That man is in a hurry.
He sure was. He went straight to the internet. I don't even think internet dating was around when Curtis first went to prison.
Oh, it wasn't. The internet itself was barely around. So for Curtis, that whole online world was new and super exciting.
But for a guy that just got out of prison, there are pitfalls online. And here's one of them.
Soon as they find out that I've been in prison, because I always like to tell them.
Don't. Let that be later, man.
I tried that on, I met a woman on a dating site. So she's like, well, let's just go have a cup of coffee. And I texted her back and I said, well, it's just not that easy. And she says, well, what's your problem? What are you hiding? What do you mean it's not that easy? Well, I have to get prior approval. Governor's got to sign off on it. You know, the whole nine yards.
The governor.
He was exaggerating.
I guess so.
But he does live in a transitional house, and he can't just come and go as he pleases.
I just can't walk out of the house and go have a cup of coffee with a date. She said I was hiding that I'm a convict or ex-convict. And she called me a liar, a manipulator, a con. She said because I wasn't up front.
Okay, Earlon, so when is the right time to tell someone you've been in prison?
Well, in my case, it wasn't a problem because I met my girlfriend when I was still incarcerated, so she knew.
That's right.
But on a recent visit to my parole office, I put that very question to some of my fellow parolees.
I think you should do it right away just to let her know where you're coming from, what your background is, and so you don't get no surprise later on.
Will it be the first conversation? I doubt that. But eventually, I'm going to let her know that I went to prison and what I went to prison for, because I want her to understand who I am and how I got to be who I am today. And it would be within the first week, for sure.
So you said it would be within the first week, so that means you haven't shot your shot yet?
I haven't even approached a woman yet.
All right, Joseph, how long did you serve and how long you been out?
I did 35 seasons, 35 years, and I've been out 12 days.
When do you think it's appropriate to tell a woman that you meet that you've been missing in action for 35 seasons?
I would have to wait until I built up the relationship and get the courage to see if she's able to handle that. So I would say probably, it depends on how long the relationship goes, because I'm not going to just offer up information like that. But if she asked me, I would tell her the truth. I don't think that's being deceitful.
So you don't feel that you owe a person that you meet that part of your life at that particular moment?
At that particular moment, no.
Okay, so some difference of opinions on that one. Although, if you've been in prison for 35 years, that's a huge chunk of your life you're not talking about. It's got to be awkward on a date.
Right. But first things first, you got to get on a date. A few weeks after he got out of San Quentin, Curtis got on Facebook. He thought that might be a good place to find someone. So he wrote this post.
Curtis Roberts, in city, enjoying life and freedom. Seeking female connection. Come, let's play.
Come, let's play. I already lost 29 years, a family, a child. No more. I choose to live. And so I saw that and I had to put the brakes on him quickly, because I feel like it's my responsibility.
Erica Solano is a Facebook friend of Curtis's. They've actually never met in person, but hers was the first of many negative responses to his post.
So I wrote him, and this is what I say to all the guys. Facebook is for friends to stay in touch and to network with like-minded people, not a dating site. You need to delete this post and create an account with Match.com or Tinder or any of the other dozens of legitimate sites that are for people looking for intimate or romantic connection. I will block you if you try to see if I'm interested in you.
I was very surprised. I was shocked, matter of fact. I cannot believe people were responding like that. Of course, I was very confused. I was like, I don't even know what Facebook's for.
I will continue to be your Facebook friend if you want to communicate with someone who spent 2 decades incarcerated and has navigated to achieving almost all of my free world goals.
Erica is a formerly incarcerated person herself. She now lives in Sacramento, drives a truck for a living. And Erlan, would you agree she is someone who doesn't take shit from anybody?
She did 20 years. Hell no.
She is no pushover. And she also makes it her business to tutor guys like Curtis on what dating is like in 2019.
Erica actually has become like a big sister to me. She has been great. So she schools me and she teaches me now.
He was craving insight and information. And so I picked up on that and I was like, look, I see you're a good guy. I'm gonna just break this down for you.
What did Curtis get wrong here? Was it the language that he used? Was it tagging you and a bunch of other women in the post?
Yeah, that was inappropriate right from the get-go. You know, you don't do that. It's obvious he does not know the social appropriate standards of either social media or the world today.
Yeah.
He just jumped into 3 decades in the future and is trying to communicate to people that he could compete.
Erica has been out of prison for about 5 years now. She was 20 when she went in, and when she got out, she had to figure out all kind of shit.
I didn't know how to do stuff. I just didn't know about a lot of things, and I would just break down everywhere, and sometimes I would just want to tell people, I've been in prison. I've been gone. The hardest part was differentiating between my realities. My mind is still in 1992. And then there's the whole prison experience. And then I'm free. And so the three different realities clashed constantly. I would see a woman walking with her kid, and I would just start crying because it felt like I was looking at myself. And I had to mourn the life that I lost. And I would just break down. You know, all the years lost, and I look in the mirror, and I'm like, fuck, I'm old now. Well, not that old.
Erica says she wasn't in any hurry to get into a serious relationship.
But she is in the game. There's a guy she sees pretty regularly, And she's still online dating.
So would you call yourself an active dater?
Yeah. Yeah. I when I feel like it, it's just not a priority. Mm. I don't make needing to feel loved a priority. I don't need to feel loved. I have cats.
We'll be back with more post-incarceration stories about dating and romance and a major update on Curtis after the break.
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
People getting out of prison have been through a lot. So when it comes to sex and romance, they're often dealing with a lot more than just the vagaries of online dating.
You can't go through prison and not come out with some form of trauma that's impacted your soul and your body on a cellular level.
This is Sarah Cruzan. She was in a story we did called Dirty Water about sex traffickers and their victims. Here's a clip from that episode.
I was 11 years old, and there was an intention when he intentionally learned my route and then came in as a father figure, developed a relationship with my mother being broken. So he knew that was a win.
Sarah killed her trafficker when she was 16 years old and spent 2 decades in prison. Shortly after she got out on parole, she got married.
I had this belief that if I came home and I got married and I had this, you know, like as if it would trump the fact that I had been labeled as a child that had killed someone, like, you know, the whole labeling would go away.
Sarah got to know her future husband towards the end of her time in prison.
He would visit me for, it was like 11 months. Very charming. He was also, like, supermodel attractive. So I think that he had that to his benefit.
Did you meet him through, did he write you?
He wrote me. And he was very charming through his letters and showing up. I think I had a fairy tale perspective. I got out October. I was married by February and then, like, separated and processing a divorce within 4 months.
So, all of that in 4 months?
Mm-hmm, pretty much, yeah.
The marriage ended when Sarah was already pregnant with their daughter, Summer.
He was actually addicted to porn. And then the times when I caught him, and then the objectifying, I really did my best to honor our marriage, but it was based on falsehoods all the way around. And I remember we went to go check the sex of Summer, and we were told it was a girl. We were having a girl. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so beautiful. And the look on his face sealed the deal for me. He was upset that we were having a girl.
What was the look on his face?
Like
disgust?
Yeah, but I was like, I'm going to protect her and not allow this objectifying individual be in our home. And so I left.
Mm-hmm. So this brief marriage post-prison was a trauma that Sarah definitely did not want to repeat. And I asked her what advice she would have for men and women just getting out of prison who are looking to connect romantically with someone.
So what I would suggest, strongly suggest, to somebody getting out of prison is take your time. Be mindful to yourself. Spend time rooting yourself outside of what you may believe you need to be. And clearly question the depths of why people are in your life.
Her name is Laura, and she is amazing.
A few months into Curtis's search for love, I checked back in with him. He'd been busy.
We met each other on a dating site. And I don't know, the more we just started talking, it was just really clicking. And I had already pointed her to the Ear Hustle podcast because I wanted her to hear my story. And she heard it, and she came back on, and she had no problems. And she says, I really want to get to know you. You've been through enough in life.
They met in person a few days later. I asked Curtis, what stood out about Laura?
Oh, it was her laugh. You know when people laugh and it's like, it's so easy to join in with them? What's that word? Infectious? It's like that. Her laugh is like that.
Laura's been a nurse for 35 years. Curtis says she's a hard worker and she's created a nice life for herself.
She has a lot of class, the way that she carries herself and the way that she lives.
Do you fit into that equation?
Not yet. I'm fresh out of prison. You know, I'm
like
used
one
to
one box, huh?
Yeah, I'm used to a top ramen soup, and I think I'm really flying, really doing something. And but she really takes care of herself and lives, and she's looking forward to teaching me that stuff. It's intimidating because I have never been a good provider, and so I'm not sure what I'm bringing to the home.
When we first spoke to Curtis, he was still a post-incarcerated virgin. So, of course, I had to ask if he had any updates.
She has a dog in the apartment. It's a little pug dog. So, anyway, so we were kind of just messing with the dog, and then I think finally she had had enough. And
she see, you wasn't going to never make that move, huh?
I was not.
You wasn't
going
to never bust no move. You was just sit there and play with the pug.
So, yeah, I was not, and she finally just turned around and kissed me, and then she even had to ask, is it okay? Do you want to go to the room? I'm like a typical 56-year-old male. You know, you're still wondering, you know, after all these years of incarceration.
Like, will you be able to perform?
Yes, exactly.
Will you be able to do a great performance?
Well, I wasn't even trying that part. Just let's get the performance over. The first one after 25 years. So let's get that part over.
When both of y'all are stark naked, how do you feel?
Nervous as all get out. I felt like I was 12 years old.
About this time on Facebook, Curtis changed his relationship status to married. Can you explain what the hell was up with that?
Well, I think that was a bit premature. You know, again, Curtis is not that familiar with Facebook. I think he meant to change it to engaged.
Okay.
Because, in fact, earlier that day, Laura and Curtis decided to commit themselves to a life sentence together.
And they made this commitment to a life sentence just 2 weeks after they met.
Do you think that it's going too fast, or do you think it's going as planned?
Well, since I've waited 25 years, I don't think it's going too fast. Neither of us think it's going too fast. You know, it's easy to stand on the outside and judge it. One way or the other, it just is what it is right now. And this is our choice.
And Curtis also said that being in a relationship represented something he'd been missing.
To me, that represents security. Something I haven't had for a long, long, long time. if at all, ever. So just coming out of all the years in prison, nothing is secure there. Nothing. You own nothing, you are nothing, and we'll do with you what we want. So now I'm looking for security.
After answering all my questions, Curtis actually had a question for me.
And the reason why I'm going to ask you this question is because I really looked up to you in prison. I did. I looked up to you, and you were like, even though you're hard on me, you were like a big brother. So I wanted to ask you to be my best man at the wedding.
It actually turned out to be kind of a San Quentin ear hustle wedding. There was Adnan Khan, who was a former resident of San Quentin and was also in an episode last year. There were other guys from San Quentin. I was there. You were there. It was in this cozy, pretty church in Mill Valley, up north of San Francisco, actually not far from San Quentin, but it felt like another world. There were about 30 of us there, and it was really nice. It was simple, but really sweet.
The bride had a pink dress. Curtis had on a gray suit with a pink tie.
Mm-hmm.
And I wore a blue suit with a pink shirt.
But casual.
Very casual.
No tie.
No tie.
But you know who wasn't there when the ceremony was supposed to start?
Who? The best man?
It was hot, and we waited for 45 minutes for you to casually show up.
But I got an excuse here.
Oh, yeah, let me hear this one.
I got an excuse. Let's just say that even though I spent my last 7 years living in the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
in San Quentin,
yeah.
I haven't quite mastered the geography and the traffic patterns.
But you know what the bottom line is? You made it, and Laura and Curtis tied the knot.
And so, Laura and Curtis have openly declared their wish to be united in marriage, have pledged their faith and love to each other before these witnesses. Therefore, now they have become husband and wife. Wow. You may kiss their wives.
The reception was in a long room right behind the church. There were snacks, chips, and dip, chopped up eggs, coffee. It wasn't that far from what Curtis and I used to see at San Quentin.
Are you saying it was a prison spread?
Somewhat.
Okay, but they did have cake, and not just one, but two beautiful cakes.
That's right. It turns out there was something else to celebrate. It was Curtis's birthday. Curtis is 33 years old.
33.
57. 57.
He's a 57 Chevy.
Happy birthday to Curtis. Happy birthday to you.
Nigel, did you get to meet Laura?
No, I'm waiting my
Nigel,
to wait my turn.
Laura,
hi,
Nigel.
Nice to meet you. Congratulations.
She works with Erlon.
Okay, Erlon, you know me well enough. You know I could not help myself, and I had to ask her some questions.
Oh, I knew you was going in.
So 2 weeks. Can I ask, what do you love about him? How did you know? 2 weeks, this is the guy for
it's
me.
His heart. We had a lot of very quiet, very intimate conversations about things that no one else knows but Curtis. Mm-hmm. And you can tell Curtis's heart immediately.
See, Nige, just like the notebook.
Oh, my God. You are so corny. Are you going to say this was love at first sight?
This was love at first sight. They found each other when they were both at crossroads in their lives.
You have the mushiest heart. It's very sweet.
That's what prison do to you.
Okay. Well, I totally hear what you're saying. I can hear their love in that clip. What can I say? I got to be honest. I had some concerns. I care about Curtis, and I want him to be happy. And I have to say, I'm not the only one who had some quandaries about the union.
Quandaries, huh?
Yes. This is Val, Laura's maid of honor.
I just wanted her to be careful. And I told her, don't go too fast, take things slow. And
That was fast.
My husband.
So while I was talking to Val, her husband, Frank, had been hanging out nearby, sort of ear hustling. And it really felt like he didn't want to speak to us. But of course, I was really curious to know what he thought of this. So you probably missed it. But while I was talking to Val, Frank chimed in and said, that wasn't slow, that was fast.
It turns out, Frank had a backstory that I can relate to.
You got to remember, I'm an ex-con. I had 10 years in Illinois.
but I'd been out 20 years before I met her.
So Frank was out of prison for 20 years before he met the right woman, and they've been married for 11 years now. They are both a little bit skeptical about Curtis and Laura's rush to get married.
Very skeptical.
I think that they really do care for each other, you know, in the amount of time it could be love, because we loved each other right away. But I wish they would have spent a little bit more time, especially he just got out of the halfway house.
He ain't been out long enough to know he wants to be committed to a marriage.
So I just want to clarify what you're saying. You're skeptical of the time that he's been out, not the fact that he's an ex-convict.
I don't think he's ready for it. I don't think he's ready for that big commitment.
So, E, what do you think? Is Curtis really ready for this big commitment?
Well, I'll tell you this, Nige. Time will tell. The real question is, has Curtis done the work to get past the trauma of prison?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we didn't bring it up in this episode, but Curtis, he was bullied in prison. He was brutally assaulted. He went through some shit. 24 years of shit.
Yeah, that's right. And that reminds me of something Sarah Cruzan told us. She's been through a lot of trauma in her life. And like we said, she was trafficked when she was a child, and she killed her trafficker when she was 16.
She was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, which is its own kind of trauma.
But in prison, and since she got out almost 6 years ago, she spent a lot of time trying to heal those wounds. Now, do you think because of all the work that you've done on yourself and all the groups that you've been involved with, that you are actually much better at relationships? Because you have so many tools.
I do have tools. I also have deep-rooted trauma. And sometimes my body and my feelings betray what may be my present. So.
Yeah, and how does one regain, or maybe it's not even regain, they may have never had it, the understanding and the love of your own body when it hasn't been loved by people?
It's hard, Nigel.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's a class, it takes, I don't know if one day it's all going to be gone. I hope so. I mean, I think about how many times my body has been assaulted and abused. You got hundreds. Yeah. And then, being in a space where you want to be intimate and really present is huge, because, my body wants to just, sometimes it's float away.
Yeah.
But breathing. When I notice my body, when I start holding my breath and I'm breathing shallow, that means I'm preparing for harm somehow. Mm-hmm. So I have to be mindful, to breathe through some of the things. Or just say, you know what, I can't do this right now.
Yeah.
And when you have a partner that loves you and that's your friend, it's good, because you just take a time out.
Yeah.
But I also think for people who come with different types of trauma, it's great when the partner also really wants to be informed of what that trauma could look like.
And Sarah does have a partner now.
I never thought that I'd have a gift of having that kind of love in my life. not like that. So when this man showed up, and he inhaled my breath, I was like, okay, we can do this. I've been in this space, and...
You say you're in a space. Is it an easy space?
At times, yeah. There's this beautiful fluidity of being in that space. And there's other times when I'm like a cactus. I hate to my cactus.
What turns you into a cactus?
Oh, I'm the triggers of insecurities, and I fill in the blanks from my experiences. And I wish that brothers, or just any man, could take his class on how to treat the person that you love.
So, E, I guess we should let listeners know that person Sarah's talking about there is you.
Indeed. Thanks to Choi, Curtis, Erica, Laura, Val, Frank, and Sarah for taking the time to kick it with us. Also, Rasan New York Thomas, John Yaya Johnson, and all the men we spoke with on the yard and at the parole office. Ear Hustle is produced by me, Erline Woods, Nigel Poor, John Yaya Johnson, Rasan New York Thomas,
and Pat Macedi Miller, who also comes in to work with our sound design team. This episode was scored with music by Antoine Williams, David Jassy, Lee Jaspar, and Erline, get in here. There are too many names for me.
Rashid Zinneman, E. Phil Phillips, John Yaya Johnson, and D. Dixon.
Bruce Wallace produces our outside stories with Erline.
Curtis Fox is our senior producer. Aaron Wade, our digital producer. Julie Shapiro is our executive producer for Radiotopia.
And we want to thank Warden Ron Davis. And as you know, every episode has to be approved by this guy here.
I'm Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the public information officer at San Quentin State Prison. And again, I get to weigh in on an episode and listen to the life of a guy who I've spent a number of years with here inside the prison. Curtis is Curtis, and the guy who I hear outside is the guy who I know. I pray that his marriage and his life is as great as he envisioned it is. And so with that, I will say that I approve this episode.
Next time on Ear Hustle, we're breaking our format. It's wall-to-wall music.
Since the first season, listeners have been wanting to hear more music about a San Quentin. So this episode is just for you.
I was blindy, but a light I was. Drawn out by the Christ, he said, give me your life and I'll give it back.
This podcast was made possible with support from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration.
Check out our website, earhustlesq.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, you can see pictures of people in our stories, and it's also a place to buy Ear Hustle t-shirts and mugs. And also, please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at earhustlesq.
Hell yeah, follow us, man. Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of, you know what?
The best podcasts around?
Best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm. I'm Erline Woods.
And I'm Nigel Poor. Thanks for tuning in.
I know you're just acting hard because the record on. You know you saw the notebook. I knew you.
I never seen a notebook before, man. I know you seen it, man.
I have never seen a notebook.
I saw the notebook, and I'm way tougher than you.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable, all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Nige, Ear Hustle listeners are the best.
They really are. You're always in touch, letting us know what you think about episodes and sharing the love.
Yep, it's really a two-way conversation, a relationship.
Indeed it is. And if you're looking for a way to deepen that relationship, consider signing up for Ear Hustle Plus.
Ear Hustle Plus, it's a new subscription service that delivers bonus Ear Hustle episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
In addition to ad-free episodes of Ear Hustle, subscribers get behind-the-scenes, off-the-cuff conversations.
We have a monthly AMA, which is Ask Me Anything episode, where you and I answer questions sent in by subscribers.
And seriously, no question is too random or wacky.
Questions like, what's our favorite book? Do we hang out in between seasons? What's the most technically challenging Ear Hustle episode ever?
Okay, Erlon, yeah, those are good questions, but like we said above, I'd like some wackier ones, actually.
We've also started doing episode commentary, where you and I listen to a classic Ear Hustle episode and talk about how it came together, hard decisions made along the way, and where the people in the episodes are now.
Yeah, we did that for Sellies, and it was a lot of fun, so we're definitely going to do more. And Erlon, tell them about that idea you're working on.
Sure. I've been sitting down with some of our formerly incarcerated friends who have gotten out and are doing well. Just basically showing how they went from one situation to a better situation, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Those will start dropping in the Ear Hustle Plus feed soon.
Listeners, we want you in this conversation. Find out more about Ear Hustle Plus at earhustlesq.com/plus or subscribe right now in the Apple Podcast Player app.
That's earhustlesq.com/plus or right in the Apple Podcast Player.
So, what is your favorite book, Erlon?
Sorry, Nige. You got to subscribe for that.
Really?
Yes.
Radiotopia.